The long days of summer arrived, and the insufferable heat and humidity settled in for their annual 3-month stay. I made my usual rounds, to the churches on my list, to the softball fields, to the local golf tournament, to the watermelon cuttings. But Clanton was waiting, and the wait was all we talked about. Inevitably, the noose around the neck of each remaining juror was loosened somewhat. They quite naturally got tired of being prisoners in their homes, of altering their lifelong routines, of having packs of neighbors guard their homes at night. They began to venture out to try and resume normal lives. The patience of the killer was unnerving. He had the advantage of time, and he knew his victims would grow weary of all that protection. He knew they would drop their guard, make a mistake. We knew it too. After missing 3 consecutive Sundays for the first time in her life, Miss Callie insisted on going to church. Escorted by Sam, Esau, and Leon, she marched into the sanctuary on Sunday morning and worshiped the Lord as if she had been gone a year. Her brothers and sisters embraced her and prayed for her fervently. Reverend Small revised his sermon on the spot and preached on God's protection of his followers. Sam said he went on for almost 3 hours. 2 days later, Miss Callie slid into the back seat of my Mercedes. With Esau beside her and Sam riding shotgun, we hurried out of Clanton with a deputy behind us. He stopped at the county line, and an hour later we were in Memphis. There was a new shopping mall east of town that was all the rage, and Miss Callie dreamed of seeing it. Over 100 stores under one roof. For the first time in her life, she ate a pizza. She saw an ice rink, 2 men holding hands, and a mixed-race family. She approved only of the ice rink. After a full hour of Sam's atrocious navigating, we finally found the cemetery in South Memphis. Using a map from the guardhouse, we eventually located the grave of Nicola Rossetti Dijonet. Miss Callie placed a bouquet of flowers she'd brought from home on the grave, and when it became apparent she planned to spend some time there, we walked away and left her in peace. In memory of Nicola, Miss Callie wanted Italian food. I had reserved a table at Grassani's, a Memphis landmark, and we had a long, delightful dinner of lasagna and ravioli stuffed with goat cheese. She managed to overcome her bias against bought food, and to protect her from sin, I insisted on paying for it. We didn't want to leave Memphis. For a few hours, we had escaped the fear of the unknown and the anxiety of the waiting. Clanton seemed 1,000 miles away, and that was too close. Going back late that night, I found myself driving slower and slower. Though we didn't discuss it, and the conversation grew quieter the closer we got to home, there was a killer loose in Ford County. Miss Callie's name was on his list. If not for the 2 dead bodies, that would have been impossible to believe. According to Baggy, and verified by research in the Times archives, there had been no unsolved murders that century. Almost every killing had been some impulsive act where the smoking gun had been seen by witnesses. Arrests, trials, and convictions had been prompt. Now there was a very smart and very deliberate killer out there, and everyone knew his intended victims. For such a law-abiding, God-fearing community, it was inconceivable. Bobby, Al, Max, and Leon had, at various times, argued strenuously for Miss Callie to go stay with any of them for a month or so. Sam and I, and even Esau, had joined in these rather vigorous requests, but she would not budge. She was in close contact with God, and He would protect her. In 9 years, the only time I lost my temper with Miss Callie, and the only time she rebuked me, was during an argument about spending a month in Milwaukee with Bobby. "Those big cities are dangerous," she had said. "No place is as dangerous as Clanton right now," I had replied. Later, when I raised my voice, she told me she did not appreciate my lack of respect, and I quickly shut up. As we crossed into Ford County late that night, I began watching my rearview mirror. It was silly, but then it wasn't. In Lowtown, the Ruffin home was guarded by a deputy parked in the street and a friend of Esau's on the porch. "It's been a quiet night," the friend said. In other words, No one had been shot or shot at. Sam and I played checkers for an hour on the porch while she went to sleep. The waiting continued.